Happy New Year! This is Pearls and Swine in 2024 on Good News You Can Use. You know, a new year is filled always with new possibilities. And you never really kind of know how the year is going to go. For some of you, like, you're probably like, woo, I'm glad 2023 is done.
Woo!
Yeah, others are like, I never wanted that year to end. That thing was awesome. And we go into 2024 kind of with some uncertainty which one of those things it will be. And there's just a little bit of uncertainty when you walk into a new year of how it's going to play out and what it's going to look like. I kind of think a new year in life is kind of like a plane ride. I love to fly. I love everything about it. I love going to the airport. I don't mind standing in the lines. I don't mind them going through any of that stuff. And, you know, you get to this place where you get to your seat, you put your luggage above, and you sit down, and they tell you to put your seatbelt on. And they tell you that another, like, 50 times before you ever take off, right? Like, and then they show you how to put your seatbelt on, which is funny to me. It kind of feels like you're in kindergarten, and I kind of like it. They just keep telling you over and over and over again to do what to do, how to do it. What does this look like? Here's where we get off if the plane crashes. Here's the exits. And all of that stuff is just a part of the, I think, experience of that. And then you have this moment where the plane is going down the runway. It's your turn. You're on the tarmac and the engines roar. And oh, I love that feeling. Like you're just climbing for the next, you know, 45 seconds. And then the captain comes on and says, hey, we're now cruising at 32,000 feet. And you're very excited about that. And you're cruising along, you know, and then you can take your seatbelt off and you can get up and go to the bathroom or do whatever you want to do. And, you know, snack time comes. It is exactly like kindergarten, right? You get snack time. And I remember this time Jen and I were flying and we weren't actually sitting next to each other. We're coming back from New York City to Minneapolis. And we were cruising along. Everything was fine. We had left New York. We're coming back. And we're at 30,000 feet. And all of a sudden, the bing, 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 bing. And the captain comes on and says, there's going to be some turbulence. Well, this is like no turbulence that I've ever experienced before. So we have our seatbelts on. And we're like dropping and going up and dropping. It's so bad. And it was during snack time, which so I was a little bitter about that. And it's making the drink cart jump up and down. It's so bad. And the lady next to me, and is not my wife because she's sitting in a different section, is eating the peanuts like this is her last supper because it's like that bad. And in that moment, what do you do? For me, I start going, okay, if we go down, how am I going to get out of here? Because I didn't listen to where the exits were. So I'm looking around, trying to figure out where the exits are. Looking around like, who's going to be lead block for me? Like the guy, you know, in front of me who's huge, I'm going to use him as lead block to get out of this plane. This is what's going on in my head in the midst of this thing. And then it settles back down, right? That's life, isn't it? Like, it's just this, you don't know what you're going to get. You're cruising along all is well at 32,000 feet. And then all of a sudden something comes in. You get a diagnosis or you get, you know, hey, you just lost your job. Oh, man, there's some turbulence all of a sudden. And how do you deal with that? What does that look like? Is really, I think, one of the things that comes out of living life. I also don't think that uncertainty is really a bad thing. What uncertainty does is it makes us aware that we're vulnerable and we're weak. And there's no, like, in a plane, there's no, it's not like you're going to take over. Hey, I'm going to drive this thing. You don't got this thing down, right? You can't take over. You have no control in the moment. And I think in life, you really don't have any control. We have zero control. And it forces us to look outside of ourselves for help.
It also kind of equalizes us, right? The theologian and philosopher Soren Kierkegaard said that the markers of humanity that we share, that everyone shares, is fragility. And that's kind of what you're saying. There is a sense that thing can be going wrong. And you're on the plane, and the plane is really, really turbulent. And you're not by yourself. You're with other people. And you all share in that experience of vulnerability and the unknown. And there is a community drawing effect to the uncertainty that we experience.
Yeah, the Apostle Paul, he had some things and some turbulence, if you will, in his life. And in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 9, it says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. And he doesn't actually tell us what this thing that he's asking to be taken away. Most theologians believe it's sickness. I read this one theologian that said it was a woman, which I thought was really funny. It was like this relationship with a woman, and it was uncertainty. They were fighting, and they couldn't stay together, and so he was like, "Hey, just take this away from me," type of a thing. And maybe it's like his father, and they were just speculating. Her father hates him because he was Jewish and now he's Christian. And so I don't think it's that. And most theologians don't believe that. But I just thought it was a funny statement that they would think it was a woman in his life and that. And so I think one of the things when we're unable to create certainty or control things, we always look towards something to help us. And in the airport, they tell you to put your seatbelt on. Like, that's really going to help. I'm not sure it's going to. But they tell you to put your seatbelt on, right? Like, you need to hold on in the midst of this. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm vulnerable, I'm weak, and yet God is the one whose grace is sufficient for me. And so I'm going to be okay with that, and I'm going to hand some control over to him in this moment.
Well, and it's like you talked about, like we have this perceived idea of control in our life. And whether it's on the airplane, like we feel somewhat maybe in control as we know where the oxygen masks are going to drop out and where our seatbelt is, and you know where the inflatable slide's going to go. But really the pilot's in control, and even that, he's not really in control if something mechanical happens to the plane or you hit massive turbulence. But you kind of have hope in that pilot that he knows what he's doing. He's been trained well enough to handle the turbulence ahead. And I think we look at Paul and we look at our lives and the perceived control. God's power has made it perfect in our weakness, and it gives him the opportunity to show up. And I think for me, those moments of uncertainty in life, you know, we can go towards despair and kind of wallowing in it, or it does actually like strengthen your hope or push you to a place of hope that you're not in control. You are weak. You are feeble, but God is not. And so I think those moments have been like, not always do I lean that way, but they've been pivotal in my faith to be like, okay, I can't do it, but God can. There is somebody there that can take care of this and be in charge of this.
Yeah, I think in all through the scripture, you see people that are vulnerable, that are living with the seatbelt sign on. Luke chapter 1 goes through this whole list of names, and there's like some big hitters in there, like David and Joseph. And you think about their actual story, it's kind of filled with these moments of understanding uncertainty or living in uncertainty. Joseph finds himself in a pit because his brothers throw him there, and then they sell him off, and like they sell him into slavery. And we discover in that God was with him, even in the uncertainty. You have King David. He was awakened one morning to the rumor that his son was conspiring against him, but he has like no proof. And yet you have like psalm after psalm after psalm reflecting on the uncertainty of that, reflecting on the pain of that, reflecting on the seatbelt sign and the turbulence in his life in that moment. You have Mary in the Christmas story. Like, that story is crazy. Like, she's just cruising along. She's about to get married. Good news has happened to her. She's got herself, her man, Joseph, and life is good. She's pretty young. And then all of a sudden, God comes to her and says, hey, you're going to carry the Savior of the world. You're going to carry God in the... Like, and it changes her life forever. And she has some questions at the very beginning of it. And yet at the end of this whole thing, as she's walking through this, and this is going to change her life in a drastic way. In that moment, there's the seatbelt sign is on, beep, 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 beep. And what does she say? May it be to me as you have said. And she says, I am the Lord's servant. And she recognizes, like, I'm going to walk through this. I'm going to live through this. And it is going to change my life. And she's probably perplexed. She's probably troubled. She's wondering how this is going to be. What does this all mean? And what is it going to be like to raise the savior of the world? How is Joseph going to react? All of those questions have to be flying through her mind. And yet in the end, she goes, I'm not in control. You are God, and I'm going to trust you. I'm your servant.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about how uncertainty demands that we say yes. Right. So, I mean, there isn't really anything you can do on the plane when it's going down except say, yep, here I am. And I mean, Mary could have said no, but the reality is that
uncertainty. Or look for lead blockers like me.
Right, right. Yeah. Or just use other humans. You know, I think there is a sense that if we're honest about the fact that we're not God, when we're presented with an uncertain situation, an unknown that we cannot handle, if we choose to say yes, which is the invitation, then it's going to be, as Jesus has promised, an abundant life. It may not be the thing that we expected, and it certainly might be harder than what we had hoped, but there is this sense that God asks us to say yes, and then he is, it says in 2 Corinthians as well, he is our yes. And that's kind of, I was just thinking about that, the way uncertainty asks us to say yes to God and his plan and no to ourselves as God.
Yeah. I also think about like just the whole narrative of scripture. And so you have, you know, you have creation, you have fall, you have Jesus coming, redemption. But the push toward is what God says in Revelation chapter 21. And they are writing this, John is writing these words down, and he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And that right there, the former things have passed away. The uncertainty has passed away, because the one who is certain is sitting on the throne, and we are his people. And that, to me, is like an incredible amount of hope. That is not afforded to us in this world, but is afforded to us by what God is doing and preparing. He's preparing for a world that is certain for us.
Yeah, that just reminds me of the sermon series that we did at the beginning of the fall through Ezekiel called The Lord is There. And the book of Ezekiel ends in a similar way that Revelation does, right? It ends by the prophet saying, and the name of the city from that time on will be The Lord is There. And we just passed through Christmas where we learned that God is with us. And so there's a certainty that is provided for us in uncertain times that looks nothing like us. And I think that's kind of cool.
So what do we do? It's 2024. We're not, the new heaven and new earth has not come. It might come this year. I don't know. That would be awesome. But Paul actually tells us, the apostle Paul, this dude's been shipwrecked. This guy's been beaten. He's been in prison. He's like, hey, this is really what you called me to do. I'm going, I'm planting all these churches, I'm spreading the good news of who Jesus is, and now I'm in jail. And what does he tell us to do in the midst of all of this? Rejoice, the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. These are just his statements that he continues to say. And then he talks about this idea of presenting our request to God. Like, prayer is really a recognition that we're not in control. It's a recognition that, man, we don't have this thing down. And he encourages us to pray. Let your requests be made known. Reveal the mystery of your request, something that unfolds. Speak of it. And you know, when the seatbelt sign is going on of life, just going, man, God, here is where I'm at. This is what's going. I know you're the one in control. And pour that out to God. And it goes over and over throughout the scripture, this idea of like, what do we do in this thing? How do we do this? What does this look like? Well, we pray about it. We ask God, we present these things to him. Prayer really isn't about, it's not necessarily about changing things. God can change anything. But prayer is about being changed. And when we begin to pray these things, we begin to trust that God is in control and can control everything. We begin to understand that we're not holding on so tightly to this thing that we're trying to control. You're like, he's the pilot. He's not the co-pilot of your life. He's the pilot. And there's not a whole lot you can do in the midst of that other than, man, God, here's where I'm at. Here's the pain that I'm walking through. And Paul says he's near. He's walking with you. He's there with you. He's answering. It doesn't mean that it's going to get you out of the uncertainty, because he didn't get Paul out of the uncertainty, but he's there with him in the uncertainty.
Yeah, it might not change the circumstances of the situation you're in. I go back to that passage in Luke when the angel is talking to Mary and he said that for no word from God will ever fail. And it reminded me of Psalm chapter 33, verse 4, where it says, the word of the Lord is right and true, and he is faithful in all he does. And I think of those times of uncertainty and those places, you know, where we feel like we're in despair, and it pushes you towards prayer. You talked about that country song, I only talk to God when I need a favor, yeah. Right? And I mean, there's no atheist in foxholes. There's that old saying too, but like when we hit those hard points and we feel like there's no control, there's uncertainty, if it pushes you to God, you start to see his promises and that his word, if you go back through scripture and see how his word has been faithful and his promises have been kept, and then you can see that in the lives of the folks in the scriptures, but you can see it in the lives of people around you too. I can think of a few instances of just hard things that the people that I know have been through, and when it seems like, man, I don't know if in my despair I would have turned towards God the way that you did, but they did, and God was faithful to see them through that. Even if it didn't change the circumstances of their situation, it brought them peace because of God being near to them.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when Paul is talking about this anxiety that we have, anxiety is often, almost always, produced by some form of fear, right? Mm-hmm. That we can't control it. And when the Bible tells us to cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us, it's a trust thing. It's him being the one who is actually in control. It's really going, God, I believe that you've got this and I'm your servant. And there's something that happens. I think one, it reveals what the desires of our hearts are, and all of us have the desire to control the outcomes of things, but to really go, man, I really don't, it's uncertain. I don't have that. But it also has this ability that the Bible says as we do this, that there is a peace that is given when we recognize and realize that we're not in control of everything. There's a peace that passes all understanding. It's something that is given to us by the living God. And I've experienced it. I can't explain it in words, but I've experienced those moments where you just kind of go, man, God, this is not something I can control. I can't do this. I'm going to put my seatbelt on. The ding, ding, dings are going to go off in life. And I'm going to just trust that we're going to land safely, or that whatever happens, that you've got this. And I don't think we have certainty until Revelation 21. We have no certainty in this world. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And yet there is this God who loves and cares and wants to walk with you in the midst of all of this. What is your greatest concern right now? What are you afraid that will happen in 2024? Maybe you're excited about 2024. But whatever it is, however 2024 plays out for you, know that your God, there is a God who loves you, who cares about you, who knows the desires of your heart, knows your need to try to control things, and know that he is with you in the midst of all of this, and that you can present and make your requests known to him, and that he will walk with you whatever 2024 holds for you. This is good news that you can use.
Thanks for joining us this week. If you've got any questions or comments or topics that you'd like for us to cover, email those to travis@evangelup.org. If you want to catch up on any of the previous episodes of Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use, you can search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform, or you can always find those at evangelup.org.